Father in heaven, burn into every heart that we have only one life on this earth. Burn into our souls, Lord, that as vapor, it's passing away. Lord, maybe there are those in the meeting and they're getting on in years. But, oh Lord, they would want to do a little more service for Thee before they go home to heaven. Oh, we pray, Lord, You will burn that thought and that desire in the hearts. Maybe there are young people in this meeting. Lord, they're wondering what they can do with their life. We pray, Lord, that they'll surrender it to Thee. And say, where He leads me, I will go. Oh, Father, we pray that men and women would not wake up someday on the verge of eternity and realize they have done very little for God and His service or kingdom. Oh, may there be no regrets. May we live our lives to the full for God. And we pray that You'll bless Thy word now as it goes forth to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul says, "We then, as workers together with Him." We then, as workers together with Him. The second epistle to the church at Corinth was written by the Apostle Paul. It was written about a year after the first epistle to that church. One of the reasons that Paul wrote the second epistle, one reason I might add, was to vindicate and to defend his integrity and his ministry, which had been called into question by certain people. His character had been attacked. His ministry had been put down and questioned and queried. And you know, you can trace that questioning and putting down of men's ministry right back to the New Testament times. And Paul had such an experience. One of the reasons why he wrote the second epistle was to defend his calling, his commission from the Lord, and his ministry in that New Testament age. At the end of chapter 5 of this second epistle, he sets forth the basis and the nature of his ministry. If you just glance back to chapter 5 and the verse 18, you will see that he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry." You'll notice the basis of Paul's ministry was from the Lord. He was called of God. He did not take the ministry to himself. He did not decide on the road to Damascus that he should become a Christian and a Christian minister. No, he was called of God, as was Aaron in the Old Testament. And he said, "These men didn't give me my ministry, and they won't take it from me. It was given to me by God." And there's the nature of his ministry in verse 18 of chapter 5. It's the ministry of reconciliation, of seeing men and women reconciled to God. Men and women brought into that relationship of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 20 of the same chapter, he says, "We then as ambassadors for Christ." He says, "I'm an ambassador, one that speaks for the King. Not one who would negotiate, but one who would set forth the King's terms and call men and women to accept them and to believe them." And that's the job of the Christian minister, to seek to be Christ's ambassador and to call men and women to be reconciled to God through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, Paul continues the defense of his ministry, particularly from verse 4. He sets forth and he shows from verse 4 onwards how he proved himself as a minister. He says there, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God." Paul was a minister. And then he shows how in his life and in his character, and we read right down to verse 11, he proved himself in the life that he lived, in following his calling and his patience and the things he endured, how he proved himself as a minister of God. But it was in verse 1 when he really summed up his ministry. That's what that little statement is. He and his fellow companions in their labours for the Lord. He summed up his ministry when he said, "We then, as workers together with him." And this little statement is not only applicable to ministers of the gospel, but it is applicable to all who love Christ, to all who serve him. For we're all the servants of God. What a statement it is then for every Christian. I want to impress it upon your heart this morning. And there are four things from this little statement that I want to leave with you and share with you this morning. I want you to see, first of all, there is a principle in this little statement. And I'm drawing your attention to the word workers. We then, as workers together with him, God's children, redeemed by blood, adopted into his family, are to be workers in his kingdom and for his kingdom. We do not work to earn our salvation. We are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ without the deeds of the law. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. But when we are saved, we are called to be servants in his kingdom and for the extension of his kingdom. And as such, we are to be workers. We are to put in a shift for God. And I say to you this morning, the Lord wants you to be a worker, not a passenger on the journey to heaven. This is explained and emphasized as you read the New Testament and you see the pictures of the Christian in the New Testament. For example, when it comes to spreading the word, we are likened unto husbandmen. A husbandman was a farmer. And in James chapter 5 and the verse 7, we're told these words, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." The husbandman, the farmer, went out and he had to clear the field. And he had to plough the ground. And he had to sow the seed. And Jesus said in the parable that the sower goes forth to sow the good seed of the word of God. And when we're spreading the word, we're likened unto the husbandman. We've got to clear the way. We've got to make preparation. Plough the ground and spread the word. And the husbandman has to work and he has to labor if he's going to have the precious fruit of the earth. And if we're going to spread the word, then we have to put that shift in for the Lord. When it comes to winning souls, we're likened unto fishermen. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The fishermen toiled long hours. Do you remember Peter, when the Lord told him to put the net out the side of the boat? He said, "Master, we've toiled." He didn't say, "Master, we've been scared all night." No, "we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing." The fisherman had to clean and mend his nets. He had to steal in all types of weather. He had to let down the nets. He had to bring them in. He has to separate the catch. It's hard work. I don't know whether you've seen some of the programs where they follow the fishermen going out of Peterhead in the north of Scotland. All kinds of weather. And the one thing you learn about watching such a documentary is that fishing is hard work. The Lord says if we're going to be winners of souls, then there has to be planning, effort and time given to this venture. We're likened in spreading the word, the husbandman, the farmer. In winning of souls, we're likened unto fishermen. In studying the scriptures, we're likened unto workmen. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, Paul gives the exhortation to young Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." A workman would take the tools for the job. And he would use those tools to do whatever his trade was. Paul says, Timothy, you're like the workman. You're studying the scriptures. Christian, you need to search the scriptures and study them so that you can be enabled to stand for the Lord when the world brings all its questions and queries and seeks to disprove and put down the Christian faith. You need to know the book so that you can stand for the Lord in the workplace or in the community or wherever you come into contact with others. The Sabbath school teacher, as you seek to get a word for the children, oh, you need to be like the workman. You need to study to show yourself approved and to bring the word to the children. Should it be bringing a word in the open air, at the youth meetings, wherever you speak for the Lord, we're like the workman. It takes time and it takes effort before the Lord to get that word, to know the book. Oh, and studying the scriptures, we're likened to the workman in winning souls. We're likened to the fisherman in spreading the word. We're likened to the husbandman. And when it comes to prayer, we're likened to the watchman. The Lord Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Paul, when he was speaking to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6 and verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplications, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. He likened prayer to doing the watchman's work. The watchman worked the night shift. He did the overtime hours. And he stood in the pillar of the town or the city, the watchtower, and he looked out for the enemy. He warded off the enemy's attack. And I tell you, prayer wards off the attack of the enemy. And that's why it's so important in the life and in the work and in the ministry of the church. It's likened unto doing the extra shift for the Lord and for God's people. It's hard work. The spirit is often willing, but the flesh is weak. And I tell you, one of the best ways you can work for God is to be at the prayer meetings of the church. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want to ask you, are you prepared to do the overtime shift? Are you prepared to do the night hours as a worker for God in the place of prayer? Are you prepared to work for the Lord in this way as a watchman? But let me ask you again in general. Let me remind you again. God's people are to be workers. And I ask you, will you put in a shift for the Lord? Or are you just a passenger sailing along on the good ship that will salvation, that will lead to heaven? I challenge you, is there a work for Jesus that you can do? There's a little hymn, it's in our hymn book, and the theologians can debate it all they want, but it says, there's a work for Jesus only you can do. There's something you can do that no one else can do for the Lord. Are you doing that work for the Savior? We are workers together with Him. The first thing in this text is the principle. We should be workers for God. I want you to look at it again and you'll see the second thing. Not only a principle, but a plea. We then, as workers, and here's the wee word I want to emphasize now. Workers together. Paul is making a plea for unity in the work and in the service of the Lord. Let me tell you a little something about the church in Corinth. Corinth was a problem church in the New Testament age. It had many problems. It had great problems. It had terrible problems. And you will read them all if you read the first epistle. You will read that there was a problem of immorality. There was a man who was in an immoral relationship with his stepmother, and the church not only tolerated it, but allowed him to continue at the Lord's table, and Paul wrote to say, it's not to be tolerated. There was the problem of Christians going to law against other Christians. There was a problem where the Lord's table had become nothing more than a social feast. There was the problem of head covering being observed by the ladies in the congregation. There was a problem where spiritual gifts were being abused. And there was a problem where the doctrine of the resurrection was being denied. And Paul wrote the first epistle to put all those problems right. But there was another problem that I haven't mentioned, and it was the problem of division. You'll read about it in chapter 1 of the first epistle. You read about it in verse 12, where some said, well, I'm of Paul. And others said, well, I'm of Apollos. And others said, well, I am of Cephas. And others, they said, well, we're just of Christ. And those little factions and little groups, and it all seems that they were all doing their own thing. And the Apostle Paul is making this plea. We're workers together. Speaking about his own missionary team. Giving that as an example to the church in Corinth. That they were to be workers together as well. They weren't just to break off into little factions. There was to be a united service in the work of God. And that was to follow through in the church at Corinth. And that's why he gave the plea in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. We are laborers together with God. And again in this text that we have read, we then as workers together with him. You know, Paul really made the same plea using an illustration in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 to 37. I'll not take time to turn it up or read it all, but he gives the illustration of the church. And he likens the church to a body. The Lord is the head. Because everything the body does is controlled by the head. The hand moves, the arm moves, because the brain or the head tells it to. The Lord is the head of his church. And everything we do, we are the members of the church. And Paul likens us and he says, the body has an eye, it has a mouth, it has a tongue, it has an ear, it has hands, it has fingers, it has feet, it has toes. But the body works in unison or unity, all being directed by the head. And he went on to say, listen, the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. The mouth can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And so Paul was saying that while we're different individuals, and we may have different gifts and different callings in life, yet the church is to work in unity together, furthering the message of the gospel as one. We are workers together for God and with God. And that's to be the aim and the prayer of every member of the Church of Christ, to work in unity with brethren and sisters, to take forward and take on the work of God and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a plea for unity that we'll be working together. But then, let me come to the third thing this morning. Look at this text again. We then, as workers together with him, there's a partnership. I'm drawing your attention to that little phrase, with him. We work for God. We are united in our service for the Lord, but we work with him. When the apostles went forth to preach, you'll remember before the Lord returned to heaven after the resurrection, he gave his disciples the Great Commission. And it's recorded in Mark chapter 16 in the verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you scan your eye on down those verses to the very last verse of Mark chapter 16, we read these wonderful words. And they went forth. That's obedience. And they went forth and they went out. The church is to have a ministry that reaches out. And it's seeking to win those who are lost and who, let's say, have no knowledge of the Lord or the gospel. They went forth and they obeyed the Lord. It tells us, and preached everywhere. And then we read these blessed words. The Lord working with them. Do you see the partnership? The Lord won't do for the church what the church can do for itself. And what we are commissioned to do is to go forth with the message of the gospel, to share it with others, to proclaim it, to invite men and women to hear the gospel. That's our role. But it tells us the Lord has His role. The Lord working with them. Brethren and sisters, what we need today is a manifestation of God being with His church and with His people and working on our behalf. Because Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing. And if we go forth at our own charge, if we go forth neglecting Him, if we go forth without Him, without seeking Him, then I tell you, we will accomplish absolutely nothing in the work of God. We can resign ourselves straight away to failure if we seek to go forth on our own charge. But if we work with Him, then I tell you what a blessing it is. May God manifest His working power with us and for us. But you know, as I look at that little phrase, workers together with Him, we can speak, and I think we have warrant in saying and in emphasizing the fact that we are workers with Christ. And that's a privilege to work with Him. And it reminds us of our need for Him. But I think the overwhelming sense of that little phrase, with Him, is in the sense of authority. You see, we work with Him in the sense that soldiers work with their captain or their general. We work with Him in the sense that builders work with the master builder. We work with Him in the sense that the members of the body work with the head. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are the members of the body. Jesus Christ is the master builder. The architect, as it were, He said, I will build my church. He has set the plans and the procedures. Jesus Christ is the captain of the armies of heaven. We are the infantry, the foot soldiers. And in working with Him, I put it to you, we follow as He directs. We work as He guides. He governs, He guides, He directs, He orders, and we are to follow, and we are to obey. We work with Him, we work for Him, and we work under Him. And all He demands and all He asks is that we obey His charge and His orders. What a partnership this is. May we know our place in the kingdom of God as foot soldiers for Christ. May we be obedient to the heavenly calling and seek to do a work and a service for God, whatever that work and service may be in His church. But then I want you to look again at this text, and I want you to see the fourth thing this morning. There's not only a principle, we're workers, a plea for unity, a partnership. We're working with the Lord. I want you to see there is a priority. We then, as workers together with him, now notice the next little phrase, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. The priority for the Christian worker is to beseech men and women that they may not receive the grace of God in vain. Or in other words, that they may not hear of it in vain. That, men and women, is the priority of the minister, the church, the Christian worker, that we would beseech men and women. What does that word beseech mean? Well, you'll see it at the end of chapter 5, because Paul said in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Do you see what Paul's saying there? He's saying we are the servants of the Lord. And when we beseech you to be reconciled to God, it's as if God is speaking to you through us. We beseech you as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you. We entreat you. We invite you. That's the meaning of the word. We invite you. We pray you. We exhort you to be reconciled to God. And Paul is putting it in a slightly different way in our text. He's saying we entreat you. We beseech you. We implore you. Don't hear. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. If you're not a Christian in this service this morning, let me say to you, with all my being, with all that I am and all that I have, I ask you, I invite you, I beseech you, I entreat you, be reconciled to God by the death of His Son and faith in Christ. For if you don't, you'll be damned in eternity. We entreat you and beseech you. Paul says that's the priority of Christian work and Christian service, to beseech men and women that they might receive the grace of God. Let me just say, the priority is not office or position in the church. If God gives you that, you have a great responsibility, but it should not be any man's priority. Let me say that the priority should not be our own agenda, to have our own way in various things or all things. Our priority as individuals should not be earthly gain, comfort, or leisure. We can all aspire to do well in life. We can have hobbies and recreations outside our employment and our service for God. But I tell you, our priority is to beseech men and women to get right with God. The church, the Christian that loses this priority of beseeching men and women to receive the grace of God, will go astray and will get led away. What is your priority? And I ask you that in closing. Let me sum up before we sing our final hymn. God wants you to be a worker, not a passenger on the way to heaven. He wants us to work in the church in a spirit of unity. He wants us to serve Him with the priority of beseeching men to get right with God, and He wants us to work under Him, the Head and King of the church. Are you willing to put that shift in for God, and if need be, do a little overtime for Him? I trust that you will be, and it will not just sit idly by. There's a little saying in the Gospels, why sit ye here all the day idle? May we not be passengers on the journey to heaven, but may we serve Him and work for Him with all of our heart.